Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Monday, June 10th, 2019. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for winds in effect through tomorrow morning. And today in our marine weather forecast, north winds 15 to 20, gusting to 25 and even 30 knots later on in the afternoon. So it's going to be windy on the beach. Wind waves from the north, 5 feet high at about 6 seconds apart, and west swells, 3 feet at 10 seconds. So we have those local wind waves from the north and the west swells. They're coming kind of at right angles to each other. You might see a little bit of confused seas out there. It's a fun term to say. And today we have the Rose Festival fleet is heading out of Portland, coming down river. So you can expect to see those ships leaving from Portland maybe between 8 and 9 a.m. You might see them around Longview by about noontime and past Astoria in the late afternoon between 4 and 5 p.m. heading outbound. These are U.S. and Canadian military vessels. I'll tell you more details about that in just a moment. And today I also want to, if I have time here, share with you a story about a rescue on the East Coast by the Coast Guard in which a small device that everybody should have on their boat, especially if they travel offshore, really made it possible for rescuers to help some folks who were in deep trouble. So we'll talk about why you might want to have one of these things on your boat. It's called an EPIRB. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have two inbounders, 5 in our Astoria anchorages, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. And all but one of those outbounders are Rose Festival fleet ships. So inbound, we have the ATB Sound Reliance. She's a Crowley Maritime vessel arriving from Ferndale, headed for the anchorage off Vancouver. She is carrying refined petroleum of some kind, and she probably passed Astoria around 4:30 a.m. You might see her in the Vancouver anchorage by about 10:30 this morning. The Navigate Stellar is arriving from San Francisco. She's a tanker ship, and she probably has some refined petroleum on board, even biodiesel. She's headed for a berth in Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. Might see her in the Portland area on the Willamette River by about 7:30, 8:30 this evening. And our Astoria anchorage is off the downtown waterfront. We have the Patmos John. She's headed for the Rainier anchorage from the Astoria anchorage. She'll be leaving around noon, and we'll probably get up there at about 3:30 to anchor across the river from Longview on the Columbia. And the research vessel Falkor, which I told you about last week, is at the port of Astoria, probably taking on supplies, perhaps changing crews. She's going on a research mission off the northern coast of California, doing some research on the ocean floor. And she has remotely operated vehicle, at least one remotely operated vehicle, ROV, that can go down to the bottom of the ocean and gather samples and do things. So a very high-tech vessel owned by a nonprofit research organization. The Sasebo Ace is in the Astoria anchorage awaiting orders, as is the Great Cosmos and the Ultra Tiger. Those vessels will ultimately head upriver to pick up cargo. And our outbounders, the Bunga Lucerne, is leaving Vancouver. She's a tanker, refined petroleum there. Heading out around 6 a.m., she could pass Astoria outbound around noontime. And our Rose Festival fleet ship, the USS Pinckney, she was at the port of Astoria last week, as was the U.S. Independence, which is heading down this morning also. But the USS Pinckney will leave the seawall in Portland. She left there at about 8 a.m., heading downriver. Takes about 8 hours or so to get down here from Portland, from the place where she's at on the Willamette River. The HMCS, Her Majesty's Canadian ship, the Edmonton, part of the Canadian Navy, will be leaving the seawall a little before 9 a.m., heading downriver. And the HMCS Nanaimo, so we had two Canadian vessels in Portland for the Rose Festival, will be heading out from the seawall on the Willamette at about 9, heading downriver. And the USS Independence, another U.S. Active-duty military vessel, Navy ship, that was also at the port of Astoria last week, is heading downriver. She's leaving the seawall at around 9 a.m. These vessels were open for tours, at least to some degree, during the Rose Festival. So it's always fun to go and see what it looks like inside one of those ships when you can. So look for those vessels passing Astoria in the afternoon, in the late afternoon, as they head downriver. Well, today I want to share with you a pretty hairy story about people being rescued. But they did all the right things. And even though their boat was in deep trouble, and so were they, it all turned out right because they were very prepared and they did the right thing. So let me just read this. This is a Coast Guard press release, and this happened in the last week of May. The U.S. Coast Guard answered an EPIRB distress signal and rescued a man and a woman from a capsized sailboat about 65 miles off Atlantic City, New Jersey. This is on the East Coast. Capsized means to turn over. So this vessel had turned over, and it was not turning up. It was just upside down pretty much in the water or on its seriously on its side and not coming back up again. Watchstanders at the Coast Guard's 5th District Command Center in Portsmouth, Virginia, received notice of the vessel's EPIRB signal. They reached out to emergency contacts listed on the EPIRB's registration, and the contact person reported that the sailboat, a 55-foot wooden-hulled vessel named Birdie, was underway from the Bahamas to New York City. The vessel's owners were on the last leg of a round-the-world voyage. So a very tragic thing. These folks had sailed all around the world safely and got into big trouble off the coast there, off the coast of New Jersey. So the vessel was outside range for VHF radio and cell reception. So watchstanders diverted one of their cutters to the location of the distress signal. And when they got there, this device, which I'll talk about more in just a minute, also had a blinking strobe light on it, and they discovered a man and a woman clinging to the hull of their overturned boat. So this was a challenging situation because the sea conditions were really rough, but basically these people really were very prepared. And so the question is, what's an EPIRB, if you're not familiar with that? You can go down to England Marine here in Astoria or any marine supply store and see one. There, maybe the one that I looked up this morning on Google said it was about 7 inches long and about 4 inches square. You can hold it in your hand. It's an emergency position indicating radio beacon. And this is something that works when VHF radio doesn't work, when you're too far offshore. That's a really great way to contact the Coast Guard when you're local. When cell phones just don't tend to work offshore, cell towers are aimed inland. And so this device, which emits a signal that is picked up by satellites that are orbiting the Earth, is continuously monitored by the Coast Guard. And so you buy an EPIRB device. It's kind of pricey. The one I looked at cost about $700. But I think my life is worth $700, and I would hope you would too. So if you are somebody who is an offshore sailor especially, you should have one of these on your boat because it will alert the Coast Guard to exactly where you are. So they're not looking around trying to find you because you sent a distress signal and they kind of know where you are. They know exactly where you are. So it can really pinpoint your location. Some of them are water activated. So if the boat is starting to sink and they become submerged, it will automatically trigger them. So sometimes people have them fixed on their boats. Often they take them with them. If they leave the boat and get into a life raft or something, it's just a really, really wise thing to have because many, many lives have been saved by EPIRBs. And so when you buy one, you register it with your name and a contact person who would be on land. And if they hear the signal go off, the Coast Guard will contact that person on land to verify that you really are out offshore, and then they will come and get you. And that is what happened to these people. 70 miles offshore, 75 miles offshore, they were in real trouble. And without that EPIRB, they might not have made it. So a very valuable piece of equipment for anybody to have on their boat, and especially in a situation where you are far offshore, as these people were. Clearly, they were very prepared and very experienced offshore sailors, and I'm very sad to hear about their beautiful 55-foot wooden boat that probably was lost. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.